Good morning. Welcome to the City of Morro Bay Community Promotions Committee. It is November 15th, and this is our November edition of our meeting. David Weissman, our chairman, is out on an early Thanksgiving trip. And seeing no public comment, we will go on to the approval of the minutes from October 18th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. If we can move on to our monthly reports, the Visitor Center report. It looks like Peter is out, and we are lucky to have Kevin this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, Peter's on our second trip to China with another group of nearly 200 chamber members and visitors, and they actually got there on Tuesday. And we haven't heard from them yet, so we're still flying a little blind, but everything's been pretty smooth so far. So I'll cover this month's report for October. Starting with our phone calls, we took in 1,054 phone calls, up greatly from the year, on nearly 300 from the year previous. We had 1,700 visitors into the visitor center. As you can see, it's down quite a bit from the October before. We mailed out 69 tourist packs, 5 relocation packets, so we still do have some people moving here into town. Sunset Magazine generated 376 leads to individuals who are interested in Morro Bay. LA Times, 101. Travel 50 and Beyond Magazine, another 19. And we sent out 45 travel planners for a total of 541 mailings for the month of October. The 1,054 phone calls generated a total of 710 referrals covering lodging, dining, recreation, retail, real estate, and events. And our membership for October rose to 487 active members, which covers 728 individuals, up from 292. Members in October of 06.
That's incredible, Kevin.
It is, and you should see the results we're having. We actually have had a number of employee turnover recently at the Chamber, and our new membership director seems to really know her stuff, and she's bringing in a huge number of new members to the Chamber. So hopefully with Peter's work and my events and her salesmanship, we can really drive these numbers up and do something for our members that way. So we can now flip over to our little more detail on our phone numbers. The 800 calls in particular, our normal 800 line took in 132 calls from the state of California. Out of state, we had another 32. Looks like we had quite a few calls from Nevada for the month. Two from Canada. Then we have our two, I think, advertising numbers, the 800 numbers that we use for advertising. The 6815 number fell to zero, so it must not have been printed in anything, I guess, for the month. The 6816 number drew in a few from California, and it looks like Connecticut, North Carolina, and New Jersey each got a call for a total of 9. And so that kind of covers that part of it there. If we have a little time, Peter would like me to go over a few of our activities that are going on right now. Obviously, in my neck of the chamber responsibility, the next event's the lighted boat parade, which we have packets for. We do have openings still for roughly 10 more boats to compete, and we've changed things this year from just a certificate, if you won or competed, to actually cash prizes. So each of the 6 categories will win a $100 cash prize, and the grand prize winner will get a $300 cash prize. So we're trying to make it a little more interesting for the competitors, bring some more boats out, get a little bit more creativity in what's out there, and obviously then draw more people to Morro Bay. Our restaurants and retailers along the Embarcadero there do well with this event, and we're trying to make this event a little more lively. And then, of course, this evening we have our annual or monthly mixer is going to be at the Morro Bay Art Association on Main Street. And they've got a lot of interesting food and drink and stuff available, and that starts at 5:30 this evening.
Kevin, are there still openings for the boat parade entries?
There are. There's roughly 10 openings still left for competitors. And then, and we are definitely still looking for sponsors. Our poster is finished, but we haven't put all of our sponsors on it yet.
And they would contact you?
And they contact me at the chamber. The $150 is our minimum level to actually be on the poster itself. And that will probably be printed early next week. So they do have a couple of days here still to contact me. We'll take boat entries up to probably just a few days before the actual event. And entry fee is only $25. So it's a fairly inexpensive entry, and you've got a, like a 1 in 6 chance of winning $100. You know, because there's only 30 entries and there's 6 prizes. So it's pretty good odds, and it should be a fun evening, weather permitting.
I had a question for you. When you called me and I jumped on board for one of the sponsorships, mm-hmm. So I asked Peter last week if you guys got my check. We'll take care of a little business here.
No, that's fine.
And I was wondering, I thought I had wanted you to fax me the sponsor thing. Did you get our money? Do you know?
I don't believe I did.
See, okay.
Yep.
I'll take care of that today.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth on that, make sure. But, yeah, we do have a good number of sponsors. I think we're up somewhere around 10 or so. Some new ones. Actually, a competitor from last year is competing this year as well as became a sponsor, which is a nice improvement there. And, obviously, due to certain circumstances, we've lost a few, but we've got some new ones that have come on. So it's balancing out well.
Do we have any people who are bringing boats in from out of the area?
Furthest I know of so far is Course Gold. We have one competitor from there. Obviously, Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, here locally. We'll be a little light in the fishing fleet this year. A lot of them are going to be out actually fishing that day. But we don't have like a tall ship or anything like we had last year, unfortunately. It's just the timing didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you've got about 20 entries already.
We've already got about 20, everything from Hawaiian canoes up to our own Coast Guard. So there's a fairly good range there, size-wise.
Terrific. Anything else, Kevin?
That'll do it.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Moving on to our budget report. We, of course, have the city's report that they had submitted. Did you have something, John?
The report that I gave last month is pretty much current. We haven't billed October yet, so that would have reflected that. So I think even with my reporting, there'll be always probably about a month lag because we haven't billed the city yet for the October billing. So when I get that bill, then I usually look at that and then give you an update on it. So I'll have that for next month.
Okay.
But we're on target with everything that we're spending and carrying to the budget.
Terrific. Looking at the TOT tax, I am pleased, I'm sure as the committee is, to see that we are continuing to increase our numbers. Looking at September's TOT tax, we're up, and I mean, I seems to me that everything is going very well. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Ed.
Just that for the year, we're $60,000 ahead of for the first 3 months over last year.
Wow.
So that's really good news.
Excellent. Very exciting.
Almost 10%. Probably about 9% increase so far.
Wow. That's just great. And this last month I had the opportunity to speak to a couple of different people in different areas of the county, and they said, gosh, Morro Bay is doing so great. And they said, well, gosh, we're not doing that great, you know. So I think it's pretty exciting that we're doing so well.
I just saw the Smith Travel numbers for Pismo Beach, Paso Robles, and the city of San Luis Obispo, and all of them are down between 3 and 6%.
Wow.
So for Morro Bay to be up, it's quite a swap. So
terrific. So just have to make sure we keep doing what we're doing because it's working. So great.
Keep David on the road.
That's right.
Keeping on the road, promoting.
That's right. He does a good job out there. Okay, moving to John, our advertising agency report.
Okay, I have a few things. Actually, I'll pass this along. This is Statement Magazine. This is the most recent issue, and I've marked where the Morro Bay ad is, so everybody can take a look at that.
And Statement, remind us where that one came.
That covers the San Fernando Valley, Calabasas. It used to be called Calabasas Magazine.
Perfect.
And they were smart to change the name because it really goes beyond Calabasas. It really covers that whole northern area. And
John, are we using one of those one of our other 800 numbers in that?
I can look and see right here.
If you would, please. I had a question about that in a bit.
It's the 708-6816.
So that is, yeah, that's our one of the numbers.
Right.
The one that got 9.
That's what I'm thinking. I was going to make that mention. I believe the other one was the Traveler Discount Coupon Guide publication, and that's off the streets now. But this one continues to bring in and trickle in now that that's out.
Right.
How long has that been out, John?
It just came out. I just got it, so it was just fresh in my mind to bring it. So,
okay.
So it's probably been out maybe a week.
Okay, so that could account for some of these, mm-hmm. plus the leftovers of the last.
Right.
And this is the first run we've done of that,
mm-hmm.
this year?
Okay. But I think it gives us some nice exposure, and it's something that we've talked about in trying to hit a little higher end consumer that can come and not only, you know, come for the day, but it's going to spend the night, go to visit our art galleries, and really try to support the businesses locally here in town, as well as contribute to the TOT. The other item I had, and this was sort of a fun one, we talked about having a 60s/70s revival as a possible event. And I don't have a whole lot to report as far as any like dates or anything like that, nor would I want to commit too seriously to this till we really decide what we want to do. But I did find out, I did some research, there is a Central Coast Volkswagen Club, and they span everywhere from Santa Maria all the way up to Paso Robles. And I have seen them. I've never been a participant, but I've seen a couple of shows, and they usually bring like 30 or 40 Volkswagens. And so I did email the gentleman, and I called, tried to get an update from him. He said his wife said he's been out of town, so I'll try to talk with him and just see if there's some interest and, you know, how much further we take it. You know, we can go from there. I did have a couple of things to show. Let me see if I can get my assistant. So I did find that just kind of perusing the internet, there's a couple of Volkswagen, national Volkswagen clubs. There's one Volkswagen Club of America, and there's another one that actually goes internationally. So what I was thinking is that, you know, I can check on the rates and see if this is something that would be, I would imagine that even though these are large, in the sense of consumer publications, they're pretty focused, so they might be reasonable. Certainly could plant a story, you know, about a 60s, 70s revival accumulating with Volkswagen, and try to get some added publicity for that. No, actually, it's on the overhead. I'm sorry.
John, would it be possible that we could get the Central Coast Volkswagen Club to actually, like, take charge of it and, like, do a show here so we wouldn't necessarily have to do anything?
Yeah, it would depend upon how structured they are. I think that's right. Just they don't seem like they have a whole lot. I mean, it's mostly people that just have cars and they put out phone calls and see. I think it would be, we could certainly, that part of it, I think we could put onto them, you know, that where they would organize it and they would all, you know, come. But I think if we had the event, that's something we'd have to talk about as far as how much we wanted to do on that. But this is the Volkswagen Club of America. And if you show the next one there, I think that one's the Central Coast one. Oh, actually, this one's fine. This is something that I found. It's a 60s revival weekend. And it comes with, they're actually packaging this with like a three-night stay. This is actually over in Europe. And just to show that there's other people doing this, even actually, not even in the United States, but in other parts of the world. So, again, it's just something that we had talked about and something to consider, but I'll continue to investigate it, and then we'll see how much further we want to go with the idea. Here's a couple of magazines just to show you that there are publications. One is the Ultra VW and Volks World. I'm sure you're all very familiar with those magazines. Read them daily.
No, Volkswagen puts out a magazine, too.
Right.
The company does.
Yeah.
I just threw mine away.
So I think that, and I don't know if I think everybody saw, I brought in my my Volkswagen thing just to say that they still do exist. Actually, I was kind of disappointed. There's not a whole lot of things in these magazines. Either I'm on the lower end or they don't really have that many anymore to, like, photograph. But it's mostly the buses and bugs and things like that. But Most people that you know that I mentioned it to, I don't think there's anybody that hasn't embraced that idea and thought that was pretty cool. I know Susan said the same thing, that she's kind of mentioned it to a few people, and everybody thought it was a great idea. And I think it really could be, what would be nice about it, it would be a destination event to where we could start it like on a Friday, have hotels have packages, and have people come in. And I think a lot of people, when they just knowing that I got here really early because I wasn't sure how long it would take me to drive in that car versus my regular car. And so when people go for a car show, they want to stay, obviously, for a few days because it's kind of an effort to bring a vintage car in, especially a Volkswagen thing, even from Pismo Beach. But so that kind of, any questions on that event or any direction on where you want to go from here with that? Or is that still something we want to look at?
I think so. I wanted to see if you'd give us a follow-up on the photo contest or that idea, and maybe mm-hmm. Is there any...
I think the next thing I need to do is I need to find a group of people in town that want to, you know, take part in that. I had mentioned it to Janice some time ago. I can get a hold of Janice again, and I think really what we need is, a committee. And I don't mind attending those meetings, but I think we need to get some photographers on board that want to help with that type of program. Phil's in Mexico for 3 months, so I can't rely on him. But that would be the next thing. I think we just need to get a group of people together that are photographers that want to be involved in that. And I don't know if maybe the promotions committee would like to have one of our members sit on that committee to help me. That would be helpful as well.
Yeah, I think that we should probably talk to the Art Association. Might be a good spot to talk to Jane or talk to some of those folks and see, you know, we can get some names, mm-hmm. you know, from them, and then, tie it into maybe,
right.
you know, start off tying it into an existing event.
Mm-hmm.
I know you talked about the Bird Festival, and,
right.
you know, this year might be a little bit too soon now
right.
to do that, but... You know, for the future.
Okay. I'll try to identify some people by the next meeting that we can have to form a committee for that.
It seems like such a great idea. I mean, all these things seem like great ideas. The problem I have with it is that as our committee, I mean, obviously we're not set up to execute events, and I don't think that that's what we want to do. My hope is that we can create these concepts, and then like with the photograph contest, pass it along to somebody or an association that can take it over. And like with this too, I mean, it would be great if we could find an association that was interested in helping us. And I mean, maybe that means we give them seed money of, you know, a few $100s or, I mean, something to help them get on their way. And we could promise them maybe we would do some promotion and help with it, but
right.
we're not actually going to be able to.
Here's a lining for you.
Yeah, I thought that we'd just turn everything over to Peter, let him run the event.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Especially since, in fact, might be an appropriate time to just vote on that while he's not here.
Yeah, Kevin's the event specialist.
Kevin's the one that's going to do it.
It's a full schedule already. No.
You wouldn't mind that, right, Kevin?
But I do think that it's important to just because of the expertise that these folks at the Chamber are gaining, to when we come up with an idea, to keep somebody at the Chamber involved somehow so that, you know, everybody knows what's going on, and then get some guidance from you guys as far as, okay, what kind of infrastructure do we need, where, you know, because you guys are getting more and more experience all the time on what to do and what not to do and how to,
oh, definitely,
you know, how to do it. So.
And timing and all the rest
sure.
of it, you know, that kind of
sure.
thing.
On that note, I just wanted to say while we're still on John's deal that there's Pismo Beach used to have, and I don't know if they still do, or I think it's a small scale now, but they used to have an event called Western Days down there. And one of the people that that's really in with, like, the Sheriff's Association and those kinds of dudes, they set up, like, a whole a Western facade, and then they do, like, quick draw contests and all kinds of stuff. And I think that would be something completely different. You know, we could drag out some of the Salinan Indians, maybe have, you know, shootouts, and, you know, we play Cowboys and Indians for a day or something in Moore Bay. It might be kind of fun. But so anyway, we're working on that and trying to get the who, because there's an actual group.
Right. They were just they were here for and they were at the Madonna Inn, and for John Wayne's 100th birthday. There's like a whole club. I know because Chad Stevens, who works with me, who's the morning guy with Chad and Andy on Cat Country, was involved in that. And they come, and there's a lot of them, and they bring their families, and it's a big event. And they put on demonstrations for, like you said, quick draw and then marksmanship, and it's all kind of centered around the American gunfighter. And I know with the one that they had at the Madonna Inn, it was really widely attended.
I know another thing that's really big, if you look at, like we subscribe to American Rifleman, which is a national NRA magazine, and in there they list all events, like upcoming events, and it's amazing how many times the shooting range here in Morro Bay is mentioned. Mm-hmm. Smith & Wesson holds a big event down right there, and we've never really, I know John Solo used to, he has a lot of people that stay at his place for the event. So that's something, too, that we should probably look into to get a grasp on, and maybe we could do see what they what their promotional needs and stuff, because here's an existing event that they're doing themselves.
Right.
That's it's pretty big, nationally, as far as, you know, shooting ranges, those kinds of things, whether it's trap, skeet, handguns, or whatever.
Don't they do some sort of Western thing out there, too, out in the hills?
You know, I don't know. Other than the Renaissance Fair, I'm not, you know. Hey, you bring your spear, I'll bring my rifle.
I think I want to be on your team.
Yeah. Just this. I had one other thing for you, John.
Sure.
Did you ever find out what the cost of that billboard was, northbound Highway 1, just south of Morro Bay?
No, I didn't know that. You want to still pursue that?
Yeah, or? And you know the phone number, it's interesting. I don't know what the business arrangement is now, but Paul Morum, who used to have that was a, is it PM Signs? I think that's what he was called. That's still his phone number on that billboard, even though it says CBS. So I don't know if he's taken it over, sold to CBS and kept management, or what that arrangement is. Hmm. But I'd still be real interested. And I apologize. I probably could have called him myself, but for some reason I thought you were going to.
I just got the impression once I kind of gave out what I thought it would cost that there wasn't an interest, but I can certainly find out. I can just email everybody and let them know. I can call my rep first at CBS and just see if, since their image is up there, she'll know something about
right
it. I can start with her.
Right, okay.
And I do business with them all the time, so
okay,
I'll
cool
find that out.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And then the next item was we talked about trying to give some assistance to the Lighted Boat Parade and particularly the merchants, and trying to come up with a holiday shopping idea and promotion. And I talked with KIQ Radio. In fact, I think I mentioned this in an email as a follow-up, and they will match the schedule. So we will spend $1,500, which the committee appropriated, and they will run an additional, at least additional $1,500. So we'll have a $3,000 schedule. And that station has been very good to us because they did a lot of free promotion for the Avocado Margarita Festival. I know that the DJ that the Big Kahuna, he came, and you know they've been pretty helpful. So I'd like to give them some of the business. I think it worked out too because I got an email, as I think most of you did or all of you did, from the Merchants Association, and they had bought some other stations. So at least this will give us, you know, some other coverage on an additional station. They're on the beach, the KPIG and KYNS. So that's a whole group of stations that they purchased. So this will kind of be hopefully be a supplement to that. But I wrote a spot, and I thought I would just read it to you and see if you think this is on the right track, because I would like to get it going, you know, the next couple of days and have it run up to a couple of days prior to the Lighted Boat Parade. So we would probably change the spot and taking out the Merchant Street Fair and update it. But it would go something like this. Looking for something special in your quest for the perfect holiday gift? Want to make your shopping experience fun while getting a great value? Well, come to Morro Bay. You'll find everything from fine art to surfing wear. Great stores and shops filled with wonderful ideas and something else, a friendly merchant with a smile. Shop along the beautiful Embarcadero or in the downtown, and there's even more in North Morro Bay. And along the great along with great shopping, there's always wonderful food from hot dogs to fresh seafood dining on the water. And be sure and join us on November 25th for the Merchant Street Fair and, of course, a longtime holiday tradition, the Lighted Boat Parade on December 1st. To find out more, go to morrobay.org. That's morrobay.org. Or call 772-4467. That's 772-4467 for more information. We'll see you in Morro Bay for the holidays. So you try to keep it general enough, but yet specific that we give some people some information. So we put your guys' number there. So, but I think most people, what we want to do is get them to go to the website, because then they can get information on the events. And we are on the homepage. We did put the lighted boat parade, and I called my guy yesterday to make sure he gets the Merchant Street Fair on there too. So that should be on today. And we did. Bill reminded me to make sure that we had that shopping link, and we got that done too for the website.
So we should have. Is the chamber still running their Clear Channel? I wanted to say.
Yeah, we are actually.
Is it Charter or it's Clear Channel, isn't it?
It's actually Charter.
It's Charter.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing stuff with
750 ads a month.
Okay. So I'm just wondering at some point that we ought to sit down between you guys, what we're doing here, and what the Merchants Association is, and try to come up with a full schedule so we can let everybody know what everybody's doing. And it sounds to me like there's no duplication. And I don't know whether it was the luck of the draw or what, but it seems like it's turning out where we're getting a lot of coverage for,
right,
you know.
Yeah, I think that would be wise, and I think there's another opportunity that as we start to spend a little more with these groups, Clear Channel certainly, although Clear Channel here has been sold, but there's other radio groups like American General Media has stations in Bakersfield and in Fresno and some of the other areas that we go into, and there might be a way to kind of package that. There was one idea that I was going to propose possibly for next year since our budget's done, or we should certainly appropriate money, but we've actually had radio remotes where the station will come to a destination, and they'll broadcast live from here. So in other words, if you're in Visalia and you're driving to work for 2 days during morning drive, all you're hearing is the station being broadcast from Morro Bay. And they're talking, and then what you do is you get that DJ, or you, sometimes there's a morning team, so they come over, they do their whole show from here. Technically, that's not a problem anymore. They can do that. And then what they do is when they're not on, say they come in like on a Tuesday, we'd want to probably do it midweek too to promote midweek travel. They come in on a Tuesday early. We, you know, take them to get fish and chips, take them down to get, maybe they do some surfing, they do all the activities, wine tasting perhaps, I mean, all the things that we have that we would want the Valley to know about, or any other target market. And then they get on the air and they talk about it. And for those people who, if the hotel's donating the rooms, well, that hotel gets interviewed on the air and talk about the hotel property and talk about accommodations in general. But that's the payback for the people who supply the trade. They get to go on the air with the DJs and talk about what they just, you know, what they've just done, whether it be a submarine ride or a kayak excursion, you know, all those different things. So they love it. They get to come and play for 2 days. They get on the air, and we own drive time in the morning, but not here, but over there. And the only challenge is that, you know, ideally we'd say, well, why don't we do L.A., you know, because that's, we want that Southern California market. It's we wouldn't be able to afford it. But like Bakersfield stations, Fresno perhaps, I mean, those stations, you know, are affordable, and they look to do it because it's a value to their listeners, because their listeners obviously consider the Central Coast and Morro Bay as their second home, so they want to know about it. And we've talked about this before, even on television stations in the Valley, that not only do they report what the weather is in Bakersfield, they report what the weather is on the coast, because they realize how many people, you know, are interested in that information. So it's something we could think about. But as we do more with these stations, I mean, maybe we can package that in, you know, where we do a remote, but then also then the chamber gets a favorable rate in the future for other promotions and things like that. Because they're all pretty hungry. They're all willing to make deals. And if we do something like that, that might be, you know, interesting. I know Ed's had a long career in the radio business, and he probably would attest that I think that remotes, they work if you get the right, give the right information to be broadcast.
I'm listening
right
to you, John, and you sound like I did 20 years ago. But what he says has a lot of merit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did, for the Harbor Festival, we were able to arrange several deals like that in the Valley, mm-hmm, where it was totally trade, and You know, they were really excited about it, and I mean, they were more anxious than some of the local radio stations were. And it's just like John said, because it's what their listeners want. So, I think that would be a wonderful idea when we're talking about trying to make a budget stretch too.
It's amazing how my radio reps over there, because we have a couple clients in Bakersfield, one being a car dealer, and they all want to come on a Friday to meet. Right around 3:30. But no, I think that just trying to do something a little different out of the box, I mean, that might be something to consider. Could be fun too.
Well, it's kind of the remote aside, you know, I mean, if they were travel writers you were talking about, we'd be talking about a fam trip. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's kind of a similar idea with when you go to other media sources in the radio stations, mm-hmm. only you're going to try to hook them by getting them to do, you know, to broadcast
it's
live
exactly
from here.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're here, you wine and dine them.
Right.
And it's pretty easy to do. I'm thinking we could pull that off real easy. And mm-hmm. I don't know, again, the short notice of it, but, I mean, how cool would it be to have to get a television station from the valley to come over and do a live remote on the Light of Boat Parade from the Yacht Club. I mean, that's a really cool place to watch the event, and and there's pretty nice people that are there too to be involved in the awards and the, mm-hmm. and all that stuff and the voting, and I don't know if it's something that we could pull off. By
I think TV is a little more of a challenge because of the broadcast, you know, to try to get that signal to their audience. They could certainly film it like that morning and, you know, get the footage back. Bakersfield's not that far. I mean, it's only an hour and a half drive. I mean, somebody could drive back the footage. I know that, like, with KSBY and KCOY, they microwave, you know, and there is some sister stations that they have over in the valley, too. That's a possibility. But, yeah, we could, we could look into that.
I mean, it sure be – I think it would be a great bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms, John, of trying to get something like this executed, what would be our action steps?
We would have to. Right now, we don't have a budget for it. I mean, it would cost probably $7,000 to do it, uh-huh. because you have to give the station enough business for them to justify, you know, that expense to come here and do all that. And it would be if we picked, like, say, KJUG over, you know, in one of the valley stations. You'd want enough spots, promo spots to promote the fact, like a couple weeks out, that they're going to come here so people tune in. We would just need to budget that and, you know, look at doing that. I don't think we have enough in our contingency fund. I was thinking more maybe for next year, which, mm-hmm. you know, we'll be planning fairly soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, if we could, it would seem to me like getting a good country station over in the San Joaquin Valley tied in with some Western event that was going on here, whether it be one of the big deals that they have down at the gun range, which is really close to us. You know, I mean, it's this side of Cuesta, so it's pretty easy, mm-hmm. you know, for them to do stay here. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could do that and, you know, tie a whole Western country thing in,
sure.
into that.
Yeah, and there's, and you know, there's probably no reason to not, you know, make a partnership and not spend maybe as much of those funds, maybe even just trade it, but do something with like Cat Country or KJUG here too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, pulling from Santa Maria, I mean, if they come, you know, the chances are, especially if we present a package to them, that they'll spend the night. But obviously the out-of-town would be the, you know, the main,
sure.
main draw.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be where the KJUG station in the valley was owned by the same owner as here, but that's no longer the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the owner of the KJUG station in Visalia, or Tulare, I believe it is, he is a Central Coast resident, Larry Woods.
Interesting.
So,
John,
yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you on the boat parade, we had talked about a contest element in it where we were going to try and have somebody be awarded like the shopping spree and the, you know, VIP treatment at the boat parade. Do we know what happened with that? It seemed like Peter was going to try and find someone that would be interested in giving, like, the gift certificate away, and, like, the idea was that they would go on the website and register. Is that just too much work to coordinate all that?
Yeah, I haven't done any more about that.
Okay.
And to be honest, I haven't heard anything about it either.
Okay. I was just curious. I think that those are all really good ideas, but they're also really hard to coordinate.
Well, I think one of the reason for that was to try to get more folks to be able to sign up for the newsletter.
Uh-huh.
So in one of the email campaigns, or just post a contest on the website, you know, mm-hmm. sign up now to receive, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Seemed like, too, that we were trying to get people into the shops. Like, they were going to, I don't know, win a gift certificate, and that would get them into the shops or something. But is there anything else, John?
Let's see. I think that's all I had for now.
Great. Moving on to the Public Relations Subcommittee report, we did not meet, so there's no report from that committee. The website subcommittee?
We had a short meeting. We discussed a lot of things, but we felt that the website was in pretty good shape, and I sent an email to John for some suggestions, which he took care of, and so that was our meeting.
Excellent.
You know, Heather, I didn't do one thing. I didn't do the website report.
Oh, right.
So I can put that.
And I was happy, Kevin, if you can pass on to Peter that he did take the website statistics off of your report, the activity report.
Yeah, it's
report.
Actually, I generate that each month.
Great.
And it's just a real simple thing to.
I also want to compliment you on the way that you took your telephone calls and put them over, and gave us a referral breakdown of those calls, because that mm-hmm. was pretty neat of what happened with those calls with regards to the lodging, dining, and the questions that were asked, referrals that were made. So that's really good information.
Yeah, it's a little tricky for us. We're out of practice, but it took us a month or two to really get used to not only tracking our calls, but what did we do on each call. But I think we've all got a form, I believe, that Bill created for us, and every day we count our calls and actually count, like, if somebody wanted seafood restaurants, and I give out three, tracking that, and we just collect them, and that it makes for fairly easy reporting now that we've got it down to a science.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So basically, as you can see there, these graphs always look a little different because we're only looking at half of the month when you see that that far graph there. But as normal, you know, we peak in the summertime and we start tailing off as we get into the fall. But still, with that being said, we had over 15,000 user sessions, total page views of 59,000, and we had 25 people sign up for the newsletter. They continue to spend a long time on our website, 11 minutes, 28 seconds to be precise. For the year, we've had a total of 183 user sessions, 846,802 page views, and we had a total newsletter sign up to date of 240. What's interesting is that a section that we put in when we did the redesign of the website, Plan a Trip, continues to far surpass anything else with 6,500 visits. And the next list is the accommodations, which is at 2,800. And also, I think another key element, which we've talked about in the past, but I think it's very important as it relates to the advertising, there is we continue to still have more people going with no referral. In other words, they're typing in moralbay.org, and so they're finding us hopefully through the advertising, or they're familiar with the way to find us. But that's over more than half of the people come to us by typing in the website. The second source is Google, of course, at number two, and then Yahoo at number three.
Do you have the page on referral sites, or is that because there's search engines? I can't read that to know if that's the referral.
That one is the no referral is at 57%. Then Google comes in at 23%. Then next is followed by Yahoo at 4%. And then it tails down from there.
What are those all search engines?
Yes.
So, but there is another page on the report that would say if we got, if somebody went through my site and went to the .org through my site because they clicked on it, that's referring sites, not search engine sites. And I know that we have that statistic because that's pretty standard. Do you have that with you or not?
I don't have that with me.
Okay. I was just curious I want to know how much referral we get from other sites that we're tied to, the state of California site and those kinds of things.
I don't think we've ever looked at that.
I don't either.
A really good thing to look at, because that will help us find out how many sites are we cross-linked on. Do we know that?
Well, we have several. I mean, there's, you know, with the county, probably the biggest one would be the county CVB.
Yeah.
We're on their site. There's, like, as Ed mentioned, you know, various hotels and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we did a huge linking when we did the redesign of the website, and it was vice versa. You know, all the people that we put on the site who wanted to be linked, you know, and vice versa, we did that. So there's quite a few.
Yeah. And actually, you can do a Google search on links, and it'll tell you how many links. Do you know how to do that? I was just curious, because then it would tell us how many links there are to morrobay.org. And
it's pretty interesting, because that's part of the process in ranking you higher, is if you're cross-linked with other websites, you rank higher in Google.
And we continue, is if you go to Google and you type in Morro Bay, I mean, we're always right there at number one, and that's changed. We've been had that position for some time now, but if you recall, probably, I don't know, a couple of years ago, we were fourth or fifth down the list, and there were people going to websites that we didn't necessarily want them to go to.
And that actually caused a lot of problems for me with events, because people would go to some of the less well-maintained Morro Bay websites and be reading 3- and 4-year-old information. And so it was a lot of phone calls I was having to correct in order to get that info out.
Yeah, our state seems like it's just getting better and better all the time, which I think is so important to what we're doing, because that's such a huge part of travel.
Well, we are working. I'm working with my web people to. I haven't forgot about, you know, trying to get the photo submissions on there. I've talked with them about that. We'll be working with them this month and next month to get those pages done. I also mentioned to Nancy this morning, I want to go back and talk about the idea where we had, you know, where people can click on History of Morro Bay and maybe work with her and the book that I brought some time ago and have people be able to go in, and then we could update that on a, you know, semi-monthly basis or quarterly basis where they could go and get new information. And I think those are some of the features that I would like to see. Also, I'm going to be hiring a PR writer to write some stories for Morro Bay. I'm going to have about 3 or 4 stories done and be sharing that with you, but I want to try to get those planted. And I think David had a good idea, you know, the types of things like going into car publications and things like that, kind of going beyond just the tourist publications, because we hit those pretty hard, but we don't really hit some of the others. So we want to do there are going to be 3 or 4 different stories like that, and that comes out of the PR budget that we have appropriated.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, we'll let you work on that, and if you get it up, that'd be great. Okay, moving on to unfinished business. We wanted to continue our discussion on the public information radio station. Did anyone have a chance to talk to Bill Pierce about that? Seemed as though someone on the committee.
I was going to defer it to unless someone knows something I don't know.
I talked to Peter last week about it.
I was going to say, because Peter said
he had a long conversation.
Actually, let me jump in on this one.
Great.
Peter and myself had a nice lunch with Mr. Pierce. Bill explained the entire history of the radio station broadcasting to us, because neither of us knew how the whole thing came about. We do have the instruction manual. We have gone through all of the recordings that are on it, because not only what it plays is on there, but also there are stored messages that can be parked off to one side. So we've gone through all that, figured out kind of what it is that we want to do, and then Bill took us actually out to the desalinization plant where the unit itself is located and walked us through the mechanics of it. And so we feel now that we have, you know, some basis to start re-recording messages, and we'll probably keep Bill in on that loop as one of the voices. His entry is his welcome to Morro Bay is a wonderful opening, and then obviously the Coast Guard is doing their updates on it every day. I think when Peter gets back, it's just simply getting what needs to go on it now and actually getting it going for the first time, because you can do it from your cell phone sitting in your car. It's a really simple process. It's just figuring out what the message needs to be at the time, mm-hmm. and then staying on top of it, because if you're putting an event or something like that on there, obviously the next day it should not be on there. So it's just really kind of figuring out what it is we want on there and starting. Mm-hmm. So, but we, the chamber now feels that we have everything that we need to start updating that.
Great.
I think that one of the things, and I don't know politically, but it ought to have, I mean, if it's done as a news type of information, then that's one thing of having either other spokespeople. But I know it would make it harder on whoever you guys choose to update that. But to me, the voice at the, of the Coast Guard is just so unfriendly as far as tourism. You know, it's nothing against the Coast Guard,
no.
But it's just... It's just a mundane...
Very monotone.
Yeah, monotone, this, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And that's not what... I don't think that's what the station was for. I mean, if you listen to... If you see the signs, it doesn't say emergency information on the signs. It says tourist
Correct.
Information on the signs.
Well, yeah. That,
so
that, yeah.
while the information is valuable to the sport fishermen and surfers, I think that's the information needs to be there, you know. But I just wonder if it needs to be... Find a better way to present it.
Right. Well, what we did find out technically is that the system is, I guess, actually owned by the or controlled by the police department. And so in case of an emergency, they're allowed to re-record over the entire five-minute
sure,
loop.
Sure, you want them to.
Exactly. One of the wonderful things that we did just find out in our dealings with the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce is that... their radio station broadcasts ends, its coverage ends at about Cuesta College, and that's where ours starts. And so, you know, we were trying to figure out, you know, kind of how we could, you know, kind of work together as you were driving from one location, you know, through into the next one. And one of the things that the their chamber was able to do is they actually called one of the local politicians and managed to get through putting up Caltrans signs that mentioned their radio station going south and our radio station going north, actually on Highway 1 there at Cuesta, and we're actually going to get additional signage for that. Yes, it's a bit stunning because when we called Caltrans, they immediately said no, it was only for traffic information, the signage. Well, we do actually include enough traveler information that it was able to go through, and now statewide they're actually going to put up signs for all of these you know, local area news stations like this. And so we're thrilled about that. We're actually going to, you know, have some more signage and maybe get more people listening to it. But, yeah, I think the voicing...
I have one suggestion if you'd like. I think that if I could maybe work with the chamber and they give me the parameters on how much time and what we want to do, I can get it written and professionally recorded.
Sure.
At least that opening statement, you know, we're welcome to, you know, Morro Bay and there's great activities and many things.
Have you listened
to
it?
No.
Yeah, I believe
you need to jump in your thing and tune in on your way down to San Luis and just listen to it.
Yeah, I don't think that radio would stay. My radio would pick that frequency.
Yeah. It might as long as you
I only get one station.
But, yeah. But once you're past Albertsons, you're probably going to be in trouble in
right,
your car. But,
right.
You know.
But no, I believe we could do that really easily, and that would be, and then that could be, even if it's a minute and a half opening that's professionally done and recorded and written, I think it'd be really easily solved.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I believe there's five slots that cover about a seven-minute loop.
Great.
Is about, and if you're driving up one, that'd be pretty much your time mm-hmm. going by Morro Bay. So, yeah, well, I think we're ready to go. It's just obviously voicing's important, but your issue with the Coast Guard, I mean, I think the only thing they could do there is maybe forward their report to somebody else or
right.
that kind of thing. I mean, I don't want to insult anybody there, but it's just a normal morning routine, I think, for them.
It's not even morning. Much of it is dated. I listened to it a number of times, and they're 3 days behind,
okay.
2 days behind.
Because the one time I listened to it, actually when we were out with Bill, it was current that day, so that's my whole experience with it.
Yeah. I've listened to it three or four times during the week,
yeah.
and it's always a day behind.
Yeah.
So is it something that you need to that we need to coordinate with the police department to say, hey, we're going to be doing this, or is it?
No, actually, the police department is just kind of hands off until there would be an actual emergency.
Okay.
I mean, if there was something at the power plant or something worse, tsunami warning or who knows what, that's when they would just call in and write over everybody else's message.
Right, and then we could change it later after.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and if we do it properly, we could probably park enough recurring messages off to the side where we could just pull them back in. So.
Great. So basically the action items on this, you're just going to, you and Peter have it under control and...
Yeah, we feel like we've got a good handle on it, and we could definitely bring John in on that. And when Peter gets back from China, I'll be happy to go over all of that with him. And then it's just getting what the current message is to the right person and get it called in so it's on the loop.
Good. Well, I think that as a promotions committee, if we can just pay attention to it and maybe, whenever we're thinking about it, tune in. And, I mean, I don't think that we need to continue this as an unfinished business item. I mean, I think that it seems like we've got some resolution on it, but if we can all just kind of try and keep it in our range and make sure we're paying attention to it, then maybe in subsequent months when we do get, it up, maybe, John, if you can keep us updated on what's going on with it, then we can make sure that it's serving its purpose.
At some point, I'd like to hear the improved loop here at our committee meeting.
Yeah,
and
I think
so I don't know if it's I don't know how we not lose track of this. How
right.
do we keep track so that we, if we were given a timeline on by, mm-hmm. By next month or the next month or whatever
right.
it is, committee meeting, we should have a new loop for you guys to listen to.
Yeah.
And maybe we could, I don't know how I would go about it other than just having a little handheld tape recorder to take it off of the AM now to here's what it sounds like today compared to here's what it sounds like now.
Exactly.
Yeah, that we could do that and just play it here over uh-huh. microphone.
Could sure. we maybe just put it back on the agenda for, say, like maybe our January or February meeting? And then that way, I mean, Bridget, would that be possible for you guys to keep track of that for a couple months and then... it'll automatically pop back up, and we'll remember to do it?
Sure.
If we left it there, we could just continue it.
That's true. We could. We could just... Okay. Well, let's just do that then. Okay. Any more discussion on the radio station? All right. Moving on to the contingency funds for the Traveler's Coupon Guide. We were just going to discuss, as I recollect, whether or not we wanted to do it again, right? Do the front cover... where are we at with it? I mean, if we said yes, we want to do it again, will they put us on the front again, no problem?
I haven't discussed it.
I have. Okay. I talked to Greg Hummer, and he said absolutely. Whenever you guys, you just let us know what you want to do and when you want to do it, and, we'd probably go back and renegotiate it or whatever. I'm wondering if we ought to do like we did. See, originally, I was thinking that we'd want to do something in the shoulder season right now. But maybe we should take a look at just doing it again next spring. We would, if some other more important issues come up that we need some of our contingency funds for, then, that might take priority.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we should, again, maybe so that we don't lose sight of it.
What kind of lead time does he need to do this?
Well, they responded within 30 days. So once we made a commitment to them, we were on the next month's cover. I would think that if we, let's say that we decided to commit to May, June again of next year, then we would probably in March make the decision to do this, get a hold of him, negotiate, and say that's what we want.
It was $3,000?
Yeah, it was $1,500 an issue.
Okay. What do you think, John? I mean, I have such a hard time with it because it seems like, of course, it was a great publication, and it, like we were talking about, it kind of had the billboard effect. We were all over the place on everything, but it also didn't necessarily seem like it generated quite the excitement that I thought it would. But, I mean, I don't know. Ed, you're really more in touch with the hotel aspect of it.
just knowing how many they produce and how much it's out there, it's more of a, I don't know that there's as much of a call to action as there is probably one of the least expensive. I think it's like Sunset Magazine, mm-hmm. only much, much bigger
right.
to me. I mean, they, the and much less money. for what you get. I don't know how John feels about that, but...
I wouldn't recommend doing it if we wouldn't get on the cover. I think being on the cover
absolutely
is of the value because, you know, there's a real captive audience of people that get those because they're going to Jack in the Box. There's nothing to read. I mean, I picked those up before. And, you know, I think it's worth trying again. And a lot of times, you know, it's difficult to determine because a lot of people would still go to our website, you know, and it's not necessarily are they going to use those coupons.
Well, and again, these are people that are picking those up. Yeah, some people just pick them up to look at. But what they're meant for is the traveling public who, you know, over, gosh, still something like, I'll be happy to bring you the actual number, but it's something like 30% of our business is still walk-in business, not reservations. These are people driving down the road not knowing where they're going to stay. So that's what those magazines were built for, and they use them, you know, and that's why when they're in Utah and Arizona and Nevada and coming through, the San Joaquin Valley or up north, a lot of foreign visitors use them. And, and again, the more people that stay here and have a good experience, the more people they tell.
They do keep them. So, that last week I got a call from a gentleman in the Pacific Northwest, and he had a copy of the magazine in front of him with the picture of the rock on it. And he was going to make reservations, and he noticed that the coupons had all expired. And he called, and he wanted to know where he could get another one of these magazines. He'd picked it up at some place, and he didn't know. But he kept it all these months. So they do keep them.
Yeah.
I would recommend that we probably at least give the guys a heads up that we want, you know, we're really seriously looking at that time frame because if they, by chance, we decide, say, in April and or March and there's somebody else on there, then, you know, we're not going to be able to do it. So it's something that, you know, I think we should probably go forward with it and let them know that we want it during that time, and then we know we have it.
If we do that, are we feeling like we did last year that we'd want to do the May, June?
That's my feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best issue.
Or April, May?
I think May, June.
I think May, June. I think the nice thing about being in June is that even though I know we start getting busy, we're going to be able to at least get those family travelers. You know, the kids are going to be out of school, and, you know, it's just, you know how it goes. I mean,
right.
It's just so much more business.
Right. Well, I'll call Greg then and give him a heads up that we are interested. Would those 2 months be available?
Tell him to send me the bill this time.
Pardon?
Tell him to send me the bill this time.
Can I have a motion to move forward with this?
So you want, you are you interested
I think like John said, I mean, I feel like if we're going to do it, we should just commit to it and do it.
If we wait to a month before,
we might
John's
not get
right,
it.
We might not get it.
Right.
Although, at least not the month we want.
Well, why don't you let me make the call rather than before you allocate the funds, we have time.
Okay.
I'll make the call, and then we can keep this on the agenda for next month.
Okay.
And I'll make the call and have some information here for you, or either that, or we can get Greg here again, or something, and find out what, you know, because I want to know the costs.
Yes,
know.
Right, of course.
Are we
right.
going to get 3 months this time for the price of two?
you work at Ed.
Second thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I do have the related web links to www.morrobay.org. It says 58 here, but I don't see it off our website. So I don't know if this is an accurate search or not, but the linkings for www.morrobay.org says 58 right now.
Wow, that's great.
So, but I don't know how accurate that is because I didn't see it linking on our site, slowspan.org.
There was one other item that I had, and Bob, I don't know if you could put that DVD in. I'm sorry, we put it on right before the meeting. This is footage that we were able to get. The mayor worked with this company. They were coming in, and they had a contract with Corbis. And if you're familiar with Corbis, they're a stock photo company, and you go on the internet and you can buy stock photos. Now what they're doing is they're also getting involved in selling footage. So in other words, if you're an advertising agency or a company, then you want, say, for instance, you'd go on there and you'd do a search and say, family enjoying fish and chips by the water. And you'd click on that and you'd see a clip of a video, you'd see the video clip, and then you could buy that for $200 or $300 rather than having to go and do the shoot and everything else. And what this is the footage that we have to use at our disposal. There's some restrictions that it only has to be, obviously, for the city. We can't use the footage for one of the, like, the fish and chip place that donated the food. We're obviously not going to run an ad for a competitor of theirs with that footage. So pretty benign conditions. But it's some pretty nice footage. There's no audio, but, you know, that's something that we can utilize. It's all on high definition. Do you have that?
And I'm trying to play around. There's no audio there?
No, there's no audio. So there's a series of shots like this one. There's them enjoying fish and chips. There's a young couple that substitutes whatever these people are doing. There's some ones shopping, going into, you know, kind of general and shopping shots. And it costs the city $400 because basically what we did is we waived their, we reimbursed them for their shooting permit. And so we were able to get this footage for that, which is a deal.
Looked pretty professional looking too. It'd be nice if there was audio.
Why wasn't there audio with it, to be honest with you?
Because people are just buying the clip. So there'll be a voiceover. I mean, I could, and I think Nancy talked about maybe I'm going to give AGP this, and they're going to do a little editing job on it, so we can see it in a little better format because it's fairly lengthy. But what these would be shots that we would have over voiceover, which we have our current sponsor that way. So, I mean, again, it's not necessarily going to be the end all. I mean, it's not going to solve all of our needs, but it's just another tool. Mm-hmm. And for $398. It's definitely worth it.
So the idea, John, is that they don't sell the audio because they think that you're going to want to say, ooh, this fish tastes good, or
no,
whatever.
No, there just wouldn't be any audio. I mean, right now it would be, you know, it could be over, it's a clip that somebody might want to use, and they would have their own audio to it, or their own voiceover. Because whatever they would say might not necessarily fit with what you're
really
going to do.
Interesting. How neat.
Is this the one that they did at Marina Square? Is this the film that Janice was involved with at Marina Square?
I think so. I just know this is a company that they came in and they shot in and around Morro Bay. And I will say that, you know, to tribute to the mayor, you know, we held our ground. These guys wanted a lot more money. All of a sudden they came in and then it was going to be more than $400. And for just $10,000, we could, you know, they could point the camera over here and do this. And we said, no, I think we'd like to keep to our original agreement of, you know, waiving the shooting fee. And then they came back and said, yeah, we'd still want to. They really wanted to shoot here. In fact, I think Corbis directed them to shoot here. And so there's some great shots.
Yeah, there are.
And this, you know, would be, again, if you can just picture our current commercial, you know, it's got a voiceover running throughout with different scenes. Mm-hmm. And that would be the same. So we could interchange this. And we could also put this on their website. We could create a spot. You know, we have our DVD. There's ways to, you know, freshen that up with some of these shots.
You could even slip this into some of Pismo stuff if you wanted to, you know, showing pictures of Morro Bay.
No, actually, I can't do that because that would be a violation of the agreement.
Oh. But it'd be promoting Morro Bay. Well, that it's nice. It's very professional. Nice images.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for the little bit of footage you see here, it took probably just days and days of setup and, you know, hiring professional models and, you know, all those things make it that much better, but also add to the cost. But Corbis has a pretty big budget. And so basically, you know, they already had their client. The Corbis is paying for it. So we were able to, you know, work out a deal with them that everybody kind of won. They saved a little money and we got the footage.
Super.
That is great. Well, terrific. Thanks so much, John.
Sure.
Moving on to new business. Do I have any new business? That's right. Ed, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we have a couple of things here. Ann Reisner was supposed to be here, but she's not. As you know, the Promotions Committee, as well as the Chamber, sponsored the art cans. And they're all painted, and they're out there. And we have been given these certificates to thank you and appreciation for our donation to that cause. And Ann was going to give these to us, but I want to give that one to you. We can hold it up and They can see it. And there's one for Kevin for the chamber.
Ed, when you talk to them, you might ask them to send me a bill, then I can pay them.
You sponsored one also?
No, for the we have $1,500 for the budget, so
oh, okay.
I'll need to
they probably
write them a check,
that.
And then so if they give me
are
some
you,
sort
are
of
are you talking about the promotions committee?
Yeah.
They've already been paid.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, the city paid them direct.
Okay, well, I'll take that off of here.
So we got an extra $1,500 then.
Yeah.
There's a okay. nice picture of the...
It'll be interesting to see where you see that come out of our budget. I don't know if it's in here or not, but yeah, we took
there was
care
an
of
art. There was a line item for art cans for $1,500.
Yeah, but not in the cities. I just have to find the amount of money here to
right.
see that it came out.
I have one other thing, Heather, that I'd like to do and thank someone. Last week in the Bay News, one of our fans wrote this letter to applaud the promotions committee, and I'd like to just thank Miss S.C. Tandler, who lives here in, she says, Mayberry-by-the-Sea. Any of you who watch Channel 20, I hope you're tuning into our wonderful promotions committee. They come to each meeting full of terrific ideas on promotion and promoting Morro Bay and how it works. They work together like a fine-oiled machine, throwing out ideas, engaging each other in active conversation for the betterment of our town. Every one of these people are professionals with sharp minds and quick wits. Thank you very much. We are very lucky to have a group this talented in our midst, and I hope each and every one of you let them know how appreciated they are. Thank you, S.C. Tandler. And we thank S.C. Tandler very much also.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. That's great. Any other new business? Declaration of new items. I guess we just want to go ahead and continue the radio station, as we had said, and then we'll also continue the traveler's coupon guide. I don't believe there were any other declarations unless someone had some.
Do we need we don't need a special agenda item for the to talk about stuff like the billboard or anything like that? Do we just got notes to try to find out some stuff for us? Okay.
Yeah, I can put that in. I'll put that under my report.
Great. Terrific. I mean, unless I guess the discussion of new ideas was, which our wonderful chairman, David Weissman, usually brings several new ideas, was the to have, if anyone had any new concepts. But, I mean, we did talk about the 60s revival today, and it seems like we got some new ideas. But does anyone have any other additions? No? Okay. Great. So I guess if I could just get a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
I'd like to play something for the board here real quick.
This terrific.
I've done two pieces for YouTube. I'm going to play the first one, which is a short one. It's just a promotional piece for Morro Bay. So let's take a look.
That's
very
great.
Cool.
Wow. Thank you. The other one is a bit longer, and I don't know if you want me to play it. It's 4 minutes, 17 seconds. It is the piece that I did on the Avocado Festival, and I encourage everyone to click on these because we'd like to increase the connection points.
Yeah, Bob, before you play that one,
yes.
I would like to personally thank you for making that video. It was quite the challenge for our first annual avocado and margarita festival to get the State Avocado Commission, actually on board. They put on their own event 2 weeks after ours, and it was quite the coup actually to get them to show up, and they were absolutely thrilled with the turnout. And so afterwards, in my thank yous, I included the link to this video, and it's just been nothing but positive comments about it. So Bob, if you
this
want
to this was a lot of fun to do.
Watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, they're beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar salt. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty. A Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away.
To do getting everybody to say margarita and holy guacamole. You could tell that woman had trouble saying it, and it was just her laugh was so so contagious. I had to include that, so it was a lot of fun doing. But I'd like to see other people try to do projects like this and put them on as a YouTube and dedicate a section to for Morro Bay in that. So that's as a new idea.
And
that's great.
What's really funny, being the event director of that event, is I was the first one to show up at 7 in the morning and the last to leave at 8 p.m., and I swear I never saw most of that stuff happen. So it's hilarious to see it actually filmed from another viewpoint. So I'm just thrilled every time I see that video.
Gosh, I don't know why, but why can't we do that for... You know, we dabbled last year with some money towards getting the car show, some footage in the Kite Festival and that. But seeing the crowds all get together at one time and say, you know, yell out whatever, that kind of lends the friendliness and the fun of the whole thing. I think we ought to just start looking at being able to do more of this, you know.
Well, you know, AGP does go out and try to cover it. The first section, the first thing that I played for you guys was from the Kite Festival. Mm-hmm. And I shot a ton of footage with that. And I'm always looking for a tagline. My company calls it the Bob Factor. I have a tendency to pull people out to say silly things. And so we do that for the car show, and we do that for any of the events that we go out and do. So, you know, we'll be there for the Lighted Boat Parade, so I'm looking for a new tagline. So if you could come up with a new tagline for me, I'll be happy to push it. So.
Great. Thanks so much, Bob. Really appreciate it. All right. Well, I think without further ado, we will go ahead and adjourn our meeting. So, thank you.
Thank you, David.
I mean, Heather, good job.
Good job, Heather. Very good.